There is something wonderful about the change of seasons here in New York. No, not just upping my electrolytes when I go for a relatively short walk. It's the smell of summer grilling, especially for whatever reason, I don't know why, in the West Village. It's sort of my seasonal clock. When I start to smell people, that sounds crazy. When I start to smell summer grilling outside, I know summer is upon us. And listen, I can't dig into my veggie dog or veggie burger without some bread or buns. Just because it's summer doesn't mean you have to cut out all the carb-heavy foods you love. Hero Bread reinvented the bread and buns that make summer great. Fluffy, delicious flavor and texture with no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. For me, getting enough fiber and cutting down on sugar are key elements to feeling better throughout the day. Hero Bread also has mouth-watering limited edition bakes, like the popular 2-gram net carb Hero Croissant. As Luann would say, c'est bon, c'est bon. Keep the carbs out of summer without compromising flavor with Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co and use code Andy at checkout. That's Andy at hero.co. The only thing better than watching TV is taking it personally. Hi, hello, shalom. Welcome to Andy's Girls. It's taking it personally. I confuse myself sometimes with which episodes are which. But I do have to say, I am also confused about Vanderpump Rules. So there we go. I watched the reunion live, heaven forbid. I do feel like, I don't typically consider Bravo to be appointment television in the ways that I think of like an HBO show or another show that would maybe be defined as water cooler conversation. Obviously, I think that Bravo is water cooler conversation, but I sort of have a little process. I have my thing the morning after. I have my Harney and Sons cinnamon spice tea with 2 different kinds of frothed almond and or oat milk, with a little cinnamon on top. Like I really truly, it's my Wheaties Cheerios, like way to start the day, whatever gluten-free version exists, way to start the day, right? So I don't typically watch live, but I do think that Vanderpump Rules, the finale, and certainly the reunion cycle are like live entertainment viewing. And so I watched the VPR and reunion part one episode of television. And I definitely had thoughts, but I remember feeling a little bit perplexed. And so I watched it, I think a second time, and I don't even remember, but I've been living inside of it. Like I've been living inside of it for days. There is an upcoming deep dive with one of my favorite guests and people. But before that happens, I really feel like I needed to process a few things. And I watched Peacock's uncensored version, which I think is about maybe 7 or 8 minutes of extra content. And because it's been a few days since I watched the original aired episode and tonight watched the uncensored, it's kind of confusing at points to remember what the specific extra footage is versus what we watched on, live TV. But it was a goodie. Like, I find myself really confused and curious about what we're watching on the reunion because I feel like there are so many different dynamics at play. And as you know, with any episode of anything ever, this is truly not a recap. This is just like a couple thoughts that have been percolating in my lady brain. And that had a little bit of a southern twang. Wasn't that fascinating? And I just kind of think there were a couple things that really gave me a little bit of pause during the episode or that I thought were interesting and sometimes questionable. And one of those was the revelation, excuse me, words are fun, toward the tail end of the episode that Ariana hadn't watched the season. And she says she didn't want to get dragged back. And I did laugh out loud a few times during the episode. And one of those LOL moments, which happened every time I watched, was when Lala immediately was like, oh my God, I so get that. And just the way she said it, I was like, you little shit star. You're saying that because you're so happy she hasn't seen all the shit you've been saying about her on the show. And certainly the finale meltdown. Like that was... Although I don't know how much of... Anyway, we'll get into the what they actually watch of the finale when they watch it, which I guess is at the tail end of part two, maybe part three. But I did... So that kind of did make me chuckle. Like Lala's just empathy of like, oh my God, I totally get that. Because you don't want her to know what you've been saying, ma'am. But I did think it was interesting. It was obviously a shock to the cast that Ariana hadn't watched the episodes. I mean, looking at Sheena's face of maybe some elements of shock, maybe some elements of relief, because you're kind of delaying this response. Like Ariana saying, I don't want to get dragged back into, I guess, the universe of Scandoval. But the reality is, to me, that's going to happen anyway. She doesn't want to watch the episodes. She's avoiding that feeling of upset. But I kind of feel like that's still going to happen. Only now she's going to be further unprepared. Because the reunion is supposed to be obviously a callback to moments throughout the season, but also the point of like extreme litigation of what we're deposing each other. What is it about this thing that you said before that rings false? And for Ariana, I understood why she would, as a, you know, form of self-care, potentially like internal self-protection as a form of defense against a lot of toxicity, not wanting to be triggered by all things Scandoval and Tom, and surely the cast's reaction to Tom this season that she wouldn't want to watch. But the flip side to me was people are going to attempt to hold her accountable or maybe drag things out over the reunion, and she's not going to be able to come up with a response that's like, this is hypocritical. Look what you did, X, Y, and Z. And I also think she's doing herself a disservice by misunderstanding who her friends are on those, I mean, it's not a couch, but on those chairs. Like, who is it truly that has been consistently on her side? And how will she feel when other members of the cast are essentially asking her to look at people differently? That if she doesn't have that wealth of information that everyone else does, she's doing herself a disservice, and it's not like she's not going to find out. So I understand it. I understand it more when she doesn't direct this as, I don't want to get dragged back, and talks about it through, you know, I've been on Broadway, I've been preparing. It's a 24/7 job for anyone who has ever experienced anything in the world of professional musical theater. I mean, when you're not on stage, you are spending your life preparing to be on stage and recovering from being on stage and doing, you know, 8 shows a week. And also, not as much as she's talked about, you know, her background or interest in performance, she's not a trained musical theater. This is her first ever Broadway show. She hasn't been in this kind of universe before, unless she's been on like a national tour that I'm not aware of. And that's not me being a dick. It's just me saying I don't know of her background in that way. So it's a whole new universe. And she's one of the stars of the show, and there's so much pressure, and she's like killing it in the box office. And sidebar, I didn't get to see her in her original run. I'm so thankful she's coming in August and coming back, because I absolutely, that's like priority number one, genuinely knock on table in the clawfist for me to go see her, because I would love, love, love to see it. And I heard really good things, which is great. And I would go see it regardless, honestly, because I want to support her. But it's good to know that she's like genuinely killing it. And so to hear her say she's not watching the episodes, I just felt like, you know, we're all leading to this big reveal the cast is so far unaware of, with, you know, Tom saying, ha, 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 you know, I'm Robert Durst. And, you know, it was all, you know, I killed them all, obviously. Like, it's just he's kind of leading us up as an audience, knowing what's about to be revealed, to this big moment of possible explosion, of shock of the Castle finding out that this thing happened, and maybe Ariana finding out not just about this thing that happened, but what the other members of the cast said about her as well. And I just thought this was a real missed opportunity for her. And it's not, I just thought it was maybe the wrong call. And that's also me talking about this in a way that doesn't take into account everybody around her, surely, as well. I mean, I don't think Dan's watching, but like everybody else in her off television circle of friends are likely watching. She has to be seeing clips. You know, people are telling her what's on TV. That's a different experience because those people haven't likely been members of the cast before, unless we're talking about like Dana or somebody who she's still friendly with who was on the show. But it's a different kind of circumstance, because when she gets these moments like this intended shocker that Lala says at the end of the episode of like, Katie was talking shit and she didn't about you and she didn't want, you know, that to come up. She didn't want it to hurt her business, your business together, or her, you know, standing with the audience. That's supposed to come. That's intended to be a shock to her. But now everything is going to be a shock. She could have lessened potentially some of the impact of some of this coming up if she watched those episodes. Now, I don't know if she had the time. She said at one point that this was because with all of the work of Broadway, she didn't want it to be a distraction. And I completely understand that. And I also don't remember the timing of like the show, her run in Chicago ending and her filming the reunion. I don't remember if it was her run ended and then she immediately filmed the reunion, or that happened somehow during the run. I think it was the former, not the latter. But I also understand that she might not have had the time. Like, to put in, this is like a weekend or a very long fucking day. I mean, that's a Wednesday for me. But like for her, that's a sacrifice. For me, that's an opportunity. Yes, please. But for her, it would really require the, I guess, emotional strength to just kind of, and just to be able to sit through it and binge it and get through it. I just think she would have helped herself, and we would have been helped by having Ariana be fully informed, which would have acted in a more dynamic way. And also, you know, unbeknownst to her at this point, that, you know, final part of the finale is the big reveal about Tom and, you know, what the cast is saying. Had she watched the full season and had an understanding that some of that didn't come from nowhere, it had been building. Like, Sheena and Lala had been saying critical things about her. Certainly they dug in a lot deeper for Lala in real time, but also for both of them on the after show. And so it's not just about the material. When I talk sometimes about the show, it's like I include maybe in my head and in our general conversation, I include the after show in a way that's probably not fair, because I don't know how much of that they're watching. But I just kind of felt like there could have been more nuance leading up to part three. And also, this is the conversation that I think a lot of people might be having. Was it the right call to hold off on showing the cast the finale spoiler? Not to say that they shouldn't have done it during the reunion. I'm actually into them holding it off until the reunion. But should they have introduced the spoiler at the start of the reunion part one, or do what it appears that they're doing, which is holding off toward, I don't know, like the latter third? I assume we're going to see something maybe at the tail end of part two, or it could be the beginning of part three. Like, it's going to be at the tail end of the reunion cycle. What does that mean for the episode and content that was filmed before that spoiler was made? Like, would Lala be going out of her way to try to translate Sandoval's fuck ups right now had she known what he would say at the tail end of the finale ep? Would Ariana be as potentially conciliatory, at least until this point? The trailer for part two, we can see some stuff happening, percolating with her and Lala. But would she be as conciliatory right now with Lala and possibly Sheena? Had she known what they said during the finale this early on into the reunion cycle, is production obviously seems more than okay with this completely obliterating and changing the dynamic. That's the whole purpose of doing this in front of camera crews at the reunion. It couldn't be a more tense environment to begin with. But they're also sacrificing a lot of nuance and complication here in a reunion that, to me, is geared a little bit closer to try to make Ariana's maybe like Angel narrative a little more complicated and fucked and nuanced in a way that's more critical versus Sandoval's. So I feel like the reunion itself would have been complicated, but they were erring on a side that, for better or worse, in the words of Katie Maloney, but also me for 500 episodes plus, it's intent versus impact. I think that their intent obviously was to create the most dramatic reunion cycle also, but how much of that intent also had to do with the strategy around tension with Ariana and the cast versus tension with Tom. And sure, you could do both, but it does to me feel like the energy right now is, sure, like Tom's getting some shit here. He can't help it. He is full of it. So it's going to happen regardless, but it feels like he's getting a certain amount of support. And then there's support coming for Ariana. Some of it to me is a little superficial based on what we've seen Lala and Sheena do during the season, which hasn't been noted thus far, not really. And it also kind of feels like there's a little bit more critique coming Ariana's way. I'm not against Ariana being criticized, but I am saying, because these are all imperfect people, that's why they're on the show, but I am saying it is fascinating to watch how, like, the Vanderpump Rules lens feels very focused on a certain kind of look for Tom than it is for Ariana. And I know I'm jumping ahead, but again, this is not a recap episode. It's just not a recap episode. I just kind of feel like we need to take a second to talk about that New York Times article. Now, I have done Reading Rainbow on the Patreon before, where I have done I'm reading word for word the article, and then I'm also sharing my perspective during and then after the reading. I don't remember if I've done a Reading Rainbow episode of that New York Times article, but as Andy said, it's like, it's very bad for Tom. When Andy said, fire your PR, that's a real thing. I mean, there is a, Tom had someone from his crisis comms publicity team with him during the interview. Things turned after the George Floyd remarks. There was a different perspective and a different level of access that the New York Times reporter had after production and the network found out about Tom's remarks. But the person who he was staffed with by his PR team was a 23-year-old, I'm sure, wonderful person, but someone who was seemingly junior to the staff, who wasn't guiding him in a way that might not have been great for the reporter, but certainly would have protected Tom. It's interesting to me that Tom Sandoval gets a feature interview or just any kind of interview with the New York Times for a profile, and you send a 23-year-old who's going to get in a shit ton of trouble that's frankly not her fault. She was ill-prepared, and I blame her, her crisis comms firm for that, to be able to figure out a way of how to, like, navigate what was happening in these series of interviews between Tom and this journalist. It wasn't, I don't think it was, like, certainly in the eyes of Tom, for what he's paying for, one could argue it wasn't great, it wasn't fair to Tom, but it certainly wasn't fair for the person who was being put in this spot, who was by no means a senior member of the staff. And knowing the amount of attention that the Scandoval has gotten, to put, again, a 23-year-old in that position and not have a senior member of your crisis comms PR team, it's Tom Sandoval in the New York Times. What bigger possible shitstorm could there be than an outlet? I mean, Brock's not a subscriber. I happen to be, to not staff him appropriately for the level of press and the level of attention you're going to get, even if it's a fucking, like, MySpace comment, scroll, yada yada, Friendster thing. Like, it doesn't matter, honestly, who it's for. because it's going to get a shit ton of attention because it's Tom and because it's Scandoval, but obviously it also matters who it's for. So that to me was interesting. But obviously, you know, Lala, was it Andy a little bit? Certainly Lisa. There were members of the cast who were trying to help Tom translate the shit he said for the New York Times article. And what they seem to be pushing, helped in a number of ways by the fact that nobody on that stage read the article, minus Andy, who said how bad it was for Tom. I mean, it was an excellent article. If I haven't done a Reading Rainbow, I absolutely will. It was an eviscerating, sharply, sharply, sharply written piece. I don't remember if LVP said she read it. Obviously, everyone read the piece that went viral about Tom seemingly comparing himself in some way to the murder of George Floyd and the chaos surrounding O.J. Simpson. And the way that Tom repositioned it, helped so well by Lala, was like, I'm not saying I'm comparing myself to these people. I'm just saying it's fucking nuts that CNN is going from, I think his words were something along the lines of like Ukraine to some other shit, which like, sir, you've had how much time? You can't name something else happening in the world. You have to call it some other shit. Just the level of flippant. Maybe that's, it's so small in terms of when it comes to like Tom and language with everything else he's discussed, but it is also a fuck up. We just need to say that. I just need to acknowledge it. But Tom is saying, no, that's everybody else misinterpreting what was in the written piece, which was me saying it's wild that like CNN has their ticker and they're covering Scandoval with equal weight to other national matters. Now, when you say something like that, members of the cast on stage, including Ariana, are going to nod, just in terms of having a conversation about this was a cheating scandal on a reality TV show. It was given so much attention. And when there are real serious concerns happening worldwide, it did not make sense for legitimate major international news publications to be focusing on this so much. When it comes to individual attention or even group attention, one could argue that people can do more than one thing at once, but he's not talking about an individual in attention. He's talking about news outlets. So, of course, I had to go back to the New York Times piece, which, by the way, is titled How Tom Sandoval Became the Most Hated Man in America. So shout out to Arena Alexander, the reporter, for writing this piece. But I do, and again, if I haven't done a Reading Rainbow, I will. But I did just want to say read exactly what was in the piece. And also note that when I talk about that 23-year-old, her name is Riley, she's mentioned at this point. And obviously, I'm not going to read the full piece on this episode, but I do think it's important to hear his words exactly. He is saying in real time he misspoke, but what he's saying is he might have used the wrong words, but his intention was clear. And my argument is, well, make your own. So this is from the piece. I asked Sandoval why he thought the scandal got so big. I'm not a pop culture historian, really, he said, but I witnessed the O.J. Simpson thing and George Floyd and all these big things, which is really weird to compare this to that, I think. But do you think in a weird way it's a little bit the same? I looked over at Riley, who was tapping furiously on her phone. I think I knew what he meant. He was trying to express the oddity of becoming the symbolic center of a nationwide discussion and a major news story. What he communicated instead was something more honest, which is just how much the experience had made him lose perspective. I did what I did because I was in an unhappy place in my life, he said. I got caught up in my emotions and fully fell in love. Like, for real. He sighed and drained his teacup. Then he got up, put on some upbeat music, and went upstairs to get ready for a night out. Sometimes he says too much, Riley said, and the following day forgets what he says. Then she went upstairs to have a quick word with him. The next day, I was supposed to attend the taping of one of Sandoval's confessional interviews for the show. I was about to get in my car when I received a text from his publicist, Riley's boss. "He'd rather you don't attend today," it read. "He's not feeling the best." The next morning, I got a call from Baskin, Alex Baskin, and the day after that, a Bravo publicist rang me late on a Friday. Some of what Sandoval had said had gotten back to Bravo, and everyone was concerned. What was it that he had said about O.J. Simpson and George Floyd exactly? Maybe Sandoval wasn't ready for this. The Bravo publicist asked if I really needed to see Sandoval again. Could the network facilitate an interview with one of the show's other stars? Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French Bravoholic for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. Now that the temperature is rising, and I don't just mean the heat coming between Lindsay versus Carl, it can be really difficult to get my hair under control. I have like this wavy, curly, frizzy, natural texture that I genuinely love, but it can be really difficult to find a product that works for my hair without feeling heavy and genuinely counteracts the frizziness that I get naturally if I don't blow out my hair. That's why I love Way. Whether your strands are fine, medium, or like mine, thick, Way has shampoo and conditioner that's your type. I love the detox shampoo because it does exactly that. It detoxes your hair. And because I am a spiritual blonde and do have some color processing, the shampoo helps clean away all the schmutz that accumulates, leaving my hair feeling lighter and better than it did before. God bless that apple cider vinegar. And yes, for that frizz, I rely on the anti-frizz cream. I put it in after I shower, do a little scrunch of my hair, and I'm good to go. Way keeps me looking like me, just a little bit elevated. Jesse Solomon, have you heard my call? If you want volume, Way's fine hair and conditioner will give you a lift without weighing you down. Not sure what your type is? Take Way's hair quiz to find out. Wash your way to healthier hair with shampoos and conditioners made just for you. Go to theouai.com and use code ANDY for 15% off your entire purchase. That's theouai.com, code ANDY. I know I'm one of many people who struggles with the all or nothing fads. Juice cleanses, soup diets, keto, hours and hours of cardio. If this cycle sounds familiar to you, and it definitely does to me, there's a better, more sustainable way to lose weight. Ro provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Ro to help them lose weight. And let's talk about the big O, obesity. 4 in 10 Americans struggle with it. So there should be no shame in the weight game. It's okay to talk about weight loss and talking about it in a way that feels healthy. With Ro, you can sign up online from the comfort of your own home. That's right, the people's couch. This means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andyscrolls. Before being prescribed medication, patients must complete an online medical visit, lab test, and qualify for medication based on their BMI, lab results, medical history, and the discretion of a Ro-affiliated healthcare provider.
So that's just a little bit from this larger piece, but when you think of his exact words, I'm not a pop culture historian really, but I witnessed the O.J. Simpson thing and George Floyd and all these big things, which is really weird to compare this to that, I think. But do you think in a weird way, it's a little bit the same? So the question was why you thought this scandal would get so big. And his exact response was, it's a little bit the same. Not in saying this was too much, there's global events going on, but to directly compare the Black Lives Matter movement and the murder of George Floyd and add on to that the OJ, in his words, the OJ Simpson thing, and add on to that him literally saying that the scandal is a quote little bit the same. That, as the reporter said, he was trying to express the oddity of becoming the symbolic center of a nationwide discussion. And what she also said was exactly right, which is how much the experience had made him lose perspective. I don't know. I just, when I went back to reading this piece that I had obviously read as soon as it came out, I just felt like his argument on the show did not match the reality of what he was saying in the interview. And the interpretation the reporter had was equally negative, which is like, I'm going to translate this for him. But the important point here is that he has, I mean, you know, in a non-medical way, lost his damn mind. Like, he's completely out of sorts with how he views himself and his own celebrity. It's just a fucking shit show. It's just a shit show. And then I watch what Lalo is saying on the show, which is like, no, I get it. I get what you're saying. What you're saying is, you know, with everything going on, this got too much attention, but that wasn't exactly what he was saying, which did give me some element of pause. I did also find it fascinating that Katie Maloney, is she not a tiffer? Is she not an AG to directly bring up intense versus impact? Something I talk about ad nauseum on this goddamn podcast social experiment is to me that I was like, oh, that's fun. I mean, obviously she doesn't listen to this podcast, but if someone close to her does, tell her I said hello. I just thought that was fantastic. And certainly I'm being sarcastic. I did not coin the phrase, but it is one that I take personally, speaking of taking things personally and sincerely, which is a person's intention isn't the end of the sentence here. You can still do damage and hurt people with potentially the best of intentions because impact matters and it absolutely lands. In addition to that, intent matters too. If you're intending to be an asshole and you're successful in that, we should have a conversation. If you don't intend to be an asshole, but you are still an asshole, and maybe potentially you're an asshole and trying to get yourself, dig yourself out of the hole of why you're an asshole, that's also a conversation. And the other part of this that I think is so interesting, like, I don't, the Lala of it all, I said forever ago I was going to record an episode deep diving Lala's now like quasi infamous podcast episode with Heather McDonald. I need to listen to it yet again, but I do genuinely want to record that episode because she's just so fascinating to me at this point. And there's a way that I think she makes some solid points on the reunion, but then she loses me, and she loses me further in real time when she's criticizing what I think is some I'm sure she's dealing with a lot of shit, but I think there's also a lot of valid, strong critique that is headed her way that she's categorizing as bullshit. So it's wild in real time to have her on television talking about accountability and honesty, and then to me being really dishonest about the ways that she's been criticized, I think rightly, for some of her behavior on the show, what she said on the after show, which has been eviscerating, very biting. I'm not seeing the Lala. I don't understand. I do not understand with any part of my being how Lala can go from her behavior, which we've seen so far, obviously it's going to build with her and Ariana and Something Boils Over part three, to her giving interviews saying that Ariana has a bigger ego than Sandoval or anyone else. I don't know how you get from point A to point Z. And I feel like right now we're on B or C. Like, we're still very much in the early days, and we're leading to something. We saw in the trailer for part two, Ariana say the whole thing of like, you think you're right because you're louder. And I think I'm nodding my head to that. But I also just kind of wonder, how did we get to this place with Lala? Like, it genuinely to me does not make sense. And it's frustrating because I think some of the reason that people have grown a little frustrated or confused by Sheena and Lala's behavior is because the number of chances that they have given Tom. And I just kind of wonder, from Sheena's perspective, if she's genuinely paying attention. Like, how much of her efforts at right now, as she is at the point of filming the reunion, is she thinking, I need to dig into what I say during the episodes? I need to think, because Ariana hasn't seen the episodes in full, but I don't know exactly what she's seen, do I need to pretend that I haven't said things X, Y, and Z? But when it comes to like really incredibly sensitive and triggering conversation around Tom still not understanding how he weaponized Ariana's alleged suicidal ideation, most especially by being the person to mention it on camera and then use it as a way to explain why he had a fucking affair. I just wonder, like, Sheena. So Sheena's willing to explain that to him on camera while the show is filming, because she's always giving him the benefit of the doubt. She's telling him things. She's having conversations with things of like, you know, the sentence ends here. There's no other, you know, buts or X, Y, and Z. That's the end of the sentence. There's no further conversation. But obviously there is. Like, is she noting that she had a seemingly strong conversation with him on the show, both when he brought that up, but also after the fact, about the ways that that's like an inappropriate thing to say, irresponsible, dangerous, and greatly, greatly unfair to Ariana? And he's still not getting it. How have we come to the point? Like, literally, what is his PR team doing? He's like uncontrollable. He can't even, was he not originally some fucking actor? Like, he cannot deliver a line. He can deliver a single, you know, he can deliver a blue bunny cry as needed. The man cries, and it's dramatic and, to me, bullshit. But he cannot deliver regret if he feels like it's going to make him look bad. I don't remember if this was on the original aired episode, but it definitely was on the uncensored episode, where there's him saying like, oh, no one has ever been, he's never been as mad at anyone as people were at him for the Scandoval, specifically members of the cast. And then there's this major supercut of all of the times that he was extremely, extremely physical, aggressive, violent, fucking rage-filled, angry, most especially against women in the cast. And they showed this master cut, which was, to me, eviscerating, but it's very easy to do that when you're talking about Tom. But I also have to wonder with some of this really sensitive conversation, how he doesn't even want to play regret. He can't even play pretend in that way. The only time that he can play regret is when that it's not about a specific example of his poor behavior. It's about the narrative of Tom. Then he can do the thing of like crying, oh, you know, I'm not that bad, you know, forgive me, or, you know, I fucked up, whatever. He cannot behave in that way when it's specific examples, because I think he gets so angry about being held accountable and his body refuses to take that on. It's why, however many months after the fact, after the scandal, he still seemingly hasn't truly apologized to Ariana, hasn't reached out when the cameras have gone down, hasn't genuinely behaved in a manner that shows he's apologetic, because I genuinely think he's not. I really, truly think he's not. And I just wonder if you're Sheena, who's ending the finale saying, don't embarrass me. You know, you're telling me you're growing or you're grown. Don't embarrass me by not doing that. The fact that she has to say that out loud should be an indicator that he's not going to show up in the way that she hopes he is. She's giving him a lot of the benefit of the doubt. But if you're Sheena and you're sitting with him on the reunion couch and he's still protesting the ways that he weaponized Ariana's mental health in that specific circumstance, he's still refusing to get it. How are you feeling about that if you're Sheena? Are you understanding this man does not deserve what you have given to him? He really doesn't want it. He's telling you with his words that he doesn't want, he really doesn't want to be forgiven in that way, because for other people, forgiveness comes with a change in behavior and taking true accountability. He is telling you he does not want that form of active forgiveness, and you're giving it to him anyway. And it's just so fucking wild to me. It's just wild to watch. And I wonder for Sheena, obviously she's going to watch the, you know, the shocker at the end of the finale. I'm sure she's going to feel a certain way. But I just also think, yeah, this is going to be a big surprise to you. I'm sure you'll have a big response, a big emotion. Maybe some of that will be embarrassment or humiliation about defending this man. Minutes later, he's like laughing his ass off, essentially, about the fact that you guys played directly into his hand. But I'm also wondering, like, that should be occurring earlier on in the day. He's giving you other examples of this. For some of us, watching the end of the finale was shocking. It was surprising. It was upsetting. But it wasn't really, when it comes to surprising, was it real? It was surprising that it was caught on camera. But to me, it wasn't surprising of Tom's character. And for members of the cast, I have to argue, like, this shouldn't be that big of a shock. For Ariana, I can understand how wounding this will be, incredibly upsetting. Wait until she finds out who her true friends are. I think she's got one on the couch. She definitely doesn't have any in production. This whole setup of LVP bringing up, you know, there was some tension with, you know, Katie and Ariana about the sandwich shop not opening. Lala saying in real time that what she referenced at the tail end of the episode, that conversation between her and Katie. I don't know if that was separate to a conversation with production, but the way it was phrased on her podcast was that conversation happened with production, that like she was on a call with Jeremiah, Katie, and Lala talking some shit out. And it's just so fascinating to me that Jeremiah, EP of the show, is the same fucking guy at the tail end of the finale taping who said to members of the cast, seemingly, I want you to break the fourth wall. If you're upset Ariana walked out, I want you to express it now on camera. Maybe they thought it wouldn't be aired as a part of the episode. Maybe they didn't give a fuck. Maybe they just felt like, okay, I'm being given permission to talk about the show. I'm going to talk about the show in that way and how this affects the show. But I do think with like LVP dropping that little bit of tension into the universe of the reunion, I am sure that there had been, I feel fairly confident that she got that, maybe maybe from Lala, but more likely in conversation with Jeremiah. It feels like production has a vested interest in making sure the cast talks on camera about their upset toward Ariana. And if some of that conversation happened off camera, like this phone call seemingly between Jeremiah, Lala, and Katie, he's going to make sure it becomes a part of the show. And I think Lala was only happy to bring that to the reunion, you know, metaphorical, not literal couch, but like bring it to the reunion couch in saying, well, you know what? Speaking of fucking Ariana, Katie, you're lying to us about how you really felt. Now, with that conversation about how Katie felt, I feel a little conflicted about it because there's stuff I don't totally believe. I do believe that that conversation happened. And I believe that in addition to the, you know, I believe the conversation happened, this whole like Katie lives in the comments section thing to me does not entirely make sense. After the reunion aired, Katie took to Instagram stories and seemingly in direct reference to her argument with Lala at the tail end of the episode, said the following. Katie said, I'm someone who has suffered from imposter syndrome for as long as I have known myself. Hence why I was apprehensive about opening the sandwich shop on my own. So when Ariana was going through not only a world of hurt, but also getting some amazing opportunities, that changed a lot of things during a pivotal time. I was extremely sensitive to what she was going through, but also very supportive. I was also dealing with immense insecurity about what I could take on and simply didn't want to put that on her. I had an emotional response that didn't feel appropriate bringing to her front door, so I went to where I felt safe, or where I thought I was safe, until I could find the appropriate conversation to have with Ariana, which of course I did, and we have had plenty since. To know me is to know I value trust, loyalty, and integrity. And I feel like, you know, Katie is referencing essentially having a safe space where she thinks that there's going to be stuff that is not going to be brought up on camera. Obviously, she thought this was not. After watching Lala and Sandoval's behavior on the Vanderpump Rules reunion, I developed such an intense thirst. I guess it's contagious when you're talking about Vanderpump Rules. So thank goodness for Fiji Water. Fiji Water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the United States. It has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH, and unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. In fact, Fiji Water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two, giving it signature soft, smooth taste. As someone who has spoken on the pod time and time again about the importance of having electrolytes, especially this summer, Fiji fits into my lifestyle so well. Before going on a little bit of a stroll, just a short one in these warmer summer temps, I grab my Fiji Water and I am out the door. Unlike some other premium bottled waters in the market, there's no ingredient statement on Fiji Water because there's nothing added to the water itself. Fiji Water is Earth's finest water. And as someone who's currently deep in the throes of watching Bravo's Finest Television, also known as Summer House, I know that having Fiji Water by my side is keeping me hydrated and refreshed. So Lala, take that. Sheena Marie, or as I will refer to her forever and ever, amen, Sheena Shea, has been right about a couple things in life. Number one, good as gold is a bop. Number two, apples are a delicious fruit. And also, family life is unpredictable, and a little peace of mind goes a long way. Now, as a single woman living here in New York City, Pedro Pascal, it's your time. Oftentimes, I am checking in with my friends because safety is important and so is peace of mind. In fact, when I had a medical crisis a couple years ago, my friends didn't know where I was while I was in the hospital. The reason they knew something was wrong, true story, was because I didn't show up to a private shopping appointment downtown. That's where Life 360 comes in. Life 360 is a family connection and safety app that lets you keep track of the people and things that are most important to you. The people you need to know are okay. A focus that Sheena Shea keeps in mind. While Life 360 can be used for so many reasons, the option of ensuring that your kids are protected while giving them independence, checking on your friends, or for me, as someone who has some chronic health issues, to ensure that people know where I am. That's why I love Life 360. Another thing I love about it is that with all of these lovely European schleps, in addition to sharing my flight information with my mom, she can see exactly when I've landed because of the app. Parents have enough to worry about. Breathe easier with Life 360. Visit life360.com or download the app today and use code Andy's Girls to get 1 month of the gold package for free, plus 15% off all tiles. That's life360.com, code Andy's Girls. It's good as gold. The week before Aunt Flo comes to town is always a tough one. I just feel off. I don't feel like myself. My cravings go absolutely wild. And in New York City, when you can order anything at any time, it certainly doesn't help. Thankfully, now it's easier to manage PMS with Estro Control. And for those who are going through menopause or premenopause, when it can be equally a struggle to find comfort in your body, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony and Estro Control, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. And P.S., BT dubs, Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it. But it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts, low moods, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas. Hormone Harmony can help with all of those things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, HAPPYMAMMOTH.com, and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. I don't think Katie is a bad friend to Ariana. I think Katie is a human person who, and Ariana is not, people are allowed to criticize Ariana. Like the fact that Katie didn't know about Ariana signing on to do Chicago and is her business partner and they're dealing with a lot of stress of the sandwich shop not being open. Like I understand Katie being upset about that. Do I think that Katie lives in the comment section? I don't. Do I think that Katie has suffered a lot and been heavily criticized? A lot of it, to me appropriately in years past because of her behavior and her quote unquote honesty. Yes. Do I think that Katie and Lala have not received 0.0001% of the support that Ariana has received when they went through their breakups? Sure, of course I have. Like that's science at this point. I think Ariana understands. I'm sure Ariana understands that as well. I think she said as much on the reunion. And I also think for Lala to bring this up as a way to say that Katie is not being honest when so much of the season so far was produced in a way that wasn't entirely honest because these people have a show to do, was to me not entirely on the up and up. Like Lala is portraying herself as the queen of honesty who would never do something that felt dishonest to her, but she did things on the show that felt dishonest. Like I don't, something so superficial, like I don't know that she's gonna be calling a water sommelier to her house to do a tasting with $1,000 bottles of what we're being led to believe tastes like sperm. Like I don't know that she's doing that in real time, but she's filming a reality TV show. There's stuff that's going to be done, her calling and leaving a voice message for Rachel on camera. I don't think she would be doing that, certainly not in the ways that she did, had she not been working on a reality TV show. So when we talk about people not being fully honest, everyone here has an understanding of working in an elevated kind of reality because they're filming reality TV. And I also think Lala and Sheena were not being honest about their feelings toward Ariana. They obviously weren't. They're coming into the reunion, I would think, with a certain level of like tail between their legs because of shit that they have said about Ariana, only to find out, LOL, she hasn't seen it, or certainly hasn't seen full episodes at that. So we talk about Katie's seeming dishonesty in Lala's mind, but I also think like Lala and Sheena, you've done a ton of shit. Like Katie is also saying in this Instagram story that she talked about some of that with Ariana. I think she has the right to be upset. I don't think it makes her a bad friend. I think if she was talking about bringing this up on the show, or maybe Jeremiah, who was also on the phone call, was suggesting that she did, and she's protesting that, like she was countering Lala, but Lala's voice is stronger and she's better at making an argument because she will just go full steam ahead. She will not actively listen. It's active listening is not necessarily a great skill at reunion performance. The reunion stage is not necessarily set up for active listening. It's set up to be as aggressive as humanly possible to make the final edit. And Lala understands that. I don't know if they were talking in real time, if Lala would be more open to Katie's reaction, but I do also believe in the limited amount of what Katie was able to, like, you know, break into Lala's monologue, that there's some stuff here that we're not getting to. Like Katie saying, you wanted me to essentially drag her to hell and I didn't want to do that. You know, there's like my truth, your truth, and the real truth. I think that there's a real truth here that combines some of what Lala is saying and some of what Katie is. The problem for me is that production is supporting Lala's narrative. Obviously, LVP is. Andy was in real time by at one point calling her the voice of reason, which was the dumbest use of the phrase that has ever been uttered, potentially. He took it back and later on was like, LOL, my bad. I just meant she was the most interesting. And also said that about Brock, which still doesn't make sense. When you talk about the voice of reason, I think if you substitute the phrase voice of reason and insert voice of production, then you can absolutely make the argument that Lala was the best quote unquote voice of reason, aka voice of production. And so was Brock. Because Brock was pushing back on a lot of stuff that I think production wanted to be pushed back on, much of which included negative critique of Ariana. Like it all ties back here. So yeah, I'm going to hold Lala. I'm going to criticize some of what she's done and talk about the inaccuracies here, but I also don't think she's the only one doing it. And a huge part of this to me, a huge piece of the fucking puzzle, is goddamn Jeremiah, who was on that phone call. Like, hello. He's a huge part of this. And I could certainly imagine a phone call taking place where Katie and Lala and maybe Jeremiah, assuming obviously Jeremiah, Lala is the one who introduced the fact that he was on this phone call by talking about it after the episode aired, that Lala said, you know, there was a conversation about what was going to be discussed on the show. Now, was what Katie was saying, was it venting? Was it her saying, I do want to talk about this stuff on camera, and then deciding that she didn't, which she has the right to do? Everybody here has a limit. Lala herself had limits for years and years of how the cast could talk about Rand. For years and years. You know, everyone lies in their life. Everyone has defense mechanisms. Everyone has triggers. I just think the way that she's focusing on Katie and saying Katie is speaking out of her ass, being hypocritical, and more focused on audience opinion and willing to like bend to that, to suggest that she's doing it and Lala is not, is to me like incredibly off. I think from what we have seen, Katie has been unwilling to play the game of doing things, most especially involving Tom, that Lala does in a way that to me has felt more honest. Maybe I'm saying that because I also wouldn't want to fuck with Tom, and I would like to believe that I would stand my ground in the ways that Katie would. Although, excuse me, to be honest, I think my version would be slightly different. I would show up to film with him, but I would just like yell at him so much. I would not be helpful for the show. So I would probably respond differently than Lala, differently than Katie, in my own special way, if God forbid I was a friend of, God forbid. But I think with, so I think with what Lala is presenting, it's like a flawed logic, or maybe it's an okay logic until you see that she's focusing on Katie and not also herself, which I get it. You're saying things, she's speaking in ways that to me actually initially feel and sound reasonable enough. And then she goes past the finish line. Then she jogs so many miles ahead in a way that I don't believe the truth that she's presenting. I do 100% believe that there's a conversation. Katie is saying as much. But I think there is also there some wiggle room of how they were talking about Katie's upset and how that could be framed for the show. Maybe, as Katie said, Lala's interest and Jeremiah's interest was Katie like tripling down on this on camera. And that was something that Katie was uncomfortable about. Maybe it's not because Katie was uncomfortable about the audience's response. Maybe she was thinking about her friend and maybe also herself. People have the ability to like fight and shit talk and work through and process complicated feelings about friends, let alone friends on reality TV, and dealing with the framework of fame around that. She has the right to be able to talk this out. And I just don't know, is it a trust circle thing? Is it like Katie deserved to have that remain off camera? I don't know. I just don't. That's like a separate conversation to me, an interesting one still. I just feel like the way that Lala was presenting this didn't pass the smell test. And I felt bad for Katie in that moment. I think sometimes Lala is so singularly focused on her truth that it's unfortunate that she's not given the same clip packages that Tom Sandoval is. Because I think it's so obvious sometimes to think about Tom and the way he's presenting things as obviously flawed and like in no way related to the reality that we've seen the last 11 seasons. But Lala doesn't get that same treatment. And I think at points it's deserved. Like, I think she has grown, absolutely. But I think there are also other things she's doing that are not based in the reality of what's happened. Now, I say that noting a lot of my frustration with her has happened since this was filmed, which was PS filmed to me way too fucking early. But with everything that she has said since about the highly critical way that she has viewed Ariana, and again, this goddamn podcast episode, I have to recap it, her episode with Heather McDonald, because it was really genuinely fascinating. And some of the stuff that Lala said was real, real tough. Just the way that she has framed Ariana and the way that she's presenting herself and her own behavior and the history of ways that Ariana has been a good friend to her, it's just so fucked. It's just so, I wonder if Lala was presented with a clip package of exactly what she has said on, in my own imagination, on the podcast, on social before she essentially went off social, on the after show, and examples of like the way she speaks in absolutes of Ariana has never once defended me. She's never done anything. She's just been like a sack of flour at the end of the day, and showing examples of Ariana standing up for her, of Tom doing X, Y, and Z, and Ariana having a response. I know that Lala's upset that Ariana continued dating Tom, but I mean, I assume that some of Rand's creditors had some thoughts about Lala continuing to date him after they started knocking on the door. I just wonder if some of that active listening I started the episode talking about, I just kind of wonder what Lala's response to some of that would be. It's so easy to cast off criticism by talking about the fact that it's all full of shit and like people are just like bending to the will of the audience and not put yourself into that group of people. I just think people respond to audience critique in different ways. I'm not removing the fact that Ariana has gotten a tremendous amount of support from people, including myself as a viewer, as a content creator, whatever. I'm not like saying that that doesn't have an impact in how people respond, but I am saying that targeting Katie in all of that is inauthentic and dishonest to me, just to me. I just think everyone has behaved in that manner. I know that Lala wasn't just talking about Katie. She also referenced Sheena. She also referenced James. The James of it all was kind of fascinating to me. I think James has like leaned into being a smartass because of the success of Worm with a Mustache and a lot of his behavior. But I think that's, I don't know that leaning in, again, Lala has done the exact same thing. Like leaning in is not the same thing as just listening to the comment section, because Lala obviously has done that. Her reaction has been different, but it's also been dishonest. Dishonest maybe to herself, but most certainly the truth. This episode, man, there was so much that I did not mention. It's why I felt the need to do this deep dive, because I really felt in my core, in my being, that there were like three things that I wanted to discuss. Also, oh my God, there's so much. But can we just say, I haven't mentioned even a little bit Rachel at all, but I do just need to say that Tom saying Rachel coming after Ariana, I'm questioning if she has a soul. Sir, we saw an entire season and a half of you coming after Ariana, including when she was still your goddamn girlfriend. So if we're talking about who doesn't have a soul, that's like a goddamn, that's a negative BOGO. Buy one, get one. Don't have one, also don't have one as well. That was comical to me. And in addition to that, I don't remember if this was on the aired episode or the Peacock, but you gotta watch Uncensored. When it comes to the reunions, I just think you gotta make a little time to watch Uncensored if you can. It's a privilege for me to take the time to watch these episodes 18,000 times. But Tom saying his mom is quote unquote at peace with not being reimbursed for the $250,000 loan that she gave him. And then Katie says in direct response under her breath, maybe he should sell the house. I mean, the way that he is fighting to keep this house, and in doing so, obviously going to take on more debt, but not pay back his mom. Pay back your mom, sir. You don't need this multi-million dollar house. In your head, you're always going to win. You're always going to win. Pay back your mother. If she's at peace with not being reimbursed, you shouldn't be. You shouldn't both be at peace. Her being at peace is all well and good for her own, like, working through this. She's the mom of Tom. She's got a lot to unpack in her normal 9-to-5 of, like, figuring all of this out. But you should not be at peace with her peace. You should want to pay her back. When it comes to people, you know, the cost of Scandoval for Tom, the fact that he hasn't been able to monetize this as successfully as his ex-girlfriend, you know, God willing, someone at some point in time cheats on Tom, but no one's going to care. No one's going to care as much. And his new 20-something-year-old girlfriend, wow, she doesn't watch Vanderpump Rules. Like, congrats, sir. And maybe she might be on Wallpaper or someone who looks like her walking out of Chateau with Leonardo DiCaprio. I don't even know what to say about that part. The fact that Ariana chose that wallpaper, I mean, my God, that's a lot. That's a big nut to uncrack, honestly. Crack or uncrack. It's a hefty chestnut in that. It's a hazelnut, perhaps. It's a peanut. I mean, I love a cashew. But to talk about Tom's mom being at peace, I don't know if Tom's mom watches the show. Shout out to Tom's mom, by the way. I don't know what your Mother's Day was like. I'm guessing there was not a check inside that card. Did you even get a card? Wasn't an email? Could it have possibly been a text? Who's to say? But to just talk about her mom, like, who even knows if his mom is at peace? Anything Tom says, I'm like, it's opposite day. But this poor woman is probably like, okay, I'm not gonna, maybe she thought, you know, whenever you give somebody a loan, in the back of your head, maybe you should hope it's a gift just in case. But I would also think she would think she's like leveraging this business opportunity because of the amount of fame, how members of Bravo shows have been able to monetize being on this show. It's one of the uses of like selling why the network does not pay some members of casts as well as maybe they deserve, because they're like, well, you can monetize it offline. I feel for her regardless. And I also think, can we come to a point, please, where Tom's mom gets her money back and she's at peace with her checking account? That would also be great. Listen, I could talk about this episode forever and ever. Amen. So I'm so excited that there's another deep dive coming. But in the meantime, thanks to you for listening to my little goddamn ramble. And oh my God, there's so much I could have mentioned, but I feel like I mentioned not all, but maybe maybe 15%. And that's something to do over the course of an hour. Speaking of an hour, I'm recording that Satchel Spectacular I've been talking about over and over and over again. So it is last call to send me your satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Killorn Ben-Simone. DM them to me over Instagram at, I just forgot my handle, shout out to me, at Dame Galley. I'm also allegedly on Threads with the same handle as well. You can send me a thesis. I love to read them by emailing andysgirlsshow@gmail.com. Please include your first name in town. first name in town. And take up space. I love, 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 love a deep dive. I love an index. I love a glossary. I love a turn of event. I love a novel. I love a short story, but, you know, 18 miles long. So let me know your thoughts and feels about Vanderpump Rules, about The Valley, about New Jersey, about another show that's on television that I don't remember, about Baby Reindeer, about something else. Let me know your thoughts. Bravo News, Orange County, when's it going to happen? I didn't even mention the Atlanta casting announcement that came out. And maybe that's for the best. Maybe that's for the best for tonight. So please send me your satchels of gold. No voice notes, please. We love a long form. And again, include your first name in town. And they may be featured in that upcoming Satchel Spectacular, which will be found on the Andy's Girls Patreon. Number one way to support the pod at patreon.com/AndysGirls. Thanks to all of you for listening to this episode. And I have to say, you know, I know that this season of VPR has been hard to watch, but I do recommend if you've fallen off or if you just have felt Scannaval exhaustion, that you might not feel great at points watching the reunion cycle, but I do think at least part one was genuinely really interesting. And to me, I had some thoughts and things to say. So if you haven't watched the season or fell off, I would recommend watching the reunion. I really would. And if you have access to Peacock, however many extra minutes you get, I think it's definitely an interesting watch. So let me know your thoughts. I'm so curious to read your satchels. And listen, guys, I will chat with you soon. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.